This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome you to this program that we've been doing for over 20 years, and God gave us a name way back, Raising the Standard, and that's the purpose of the program, is that the body of Christ at large began to understand that God gave all these wonderful things to the Jewish people years ago to teach them about the Messiah, and so many of them have rejected Him, but a lot of them have come to Him. And so we should glean the same thing. All these things we're going to talk about today, about the Day of Atonement, is all about the Messiah and what He was going to do at that particular time. And we know He fulfilled everything that was written about Him. And so we see this as we go to Leviticus chapter 16. Today we're going to talk about some things about the Day of Atonement. But there's so much in it, and it's hard. We could not possibly even come close to covering everything today in 55 or 56 minutes of our program. But we'll share some things, and you can have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, and you can apply it to your life, and it will change your life. It'll make you think different ways, and we'll get out of this thought of being Christianized, because we are Christians. A Christian just means you're a follower of Christ. But we ought to find out, who did God give all these instructions to about the Messiah coming? It was about His people. Why He chose Israel and the Jewish people, I have no idea, but He chose them for a purpose. And so He gave them all the appointed times. He gave them all the facts that He wanted them to know, to look at, and to explain those things to their children and their children's children and all those things, and that they would honor these things every single year.
Amen.
Because God is a cyclic God. He goes around 12 months, and He comes back to the same point again. So every year when these things come, we always teach on these things.
Amen.
With you on the radio. We've been doing that for 20-plus years, that you might know the things that God wants us to know. And this first covenant, I hate to hear it, here it's called the Old Covenant. It's not old. It's just the first covenant that God gave to Israel. And so we have so much to learn from what He gave His Jewish people. And are we glad that we're not the natural branch, but we've been grafted in by the Holy Ghost, and we're walking with Him. And so whatever God's doing with them, we can understand there's a reason for it, not only for Israel and the Jews around the world, but it's a reason for us as well to draw closer to You, to know that our Messiah is Yeshua HaMashiach,
yes,
and nobody else. He is the one. There's no other way into the kingdom of God except by Him. And so we're honored to be here with you on another Saturday. And we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1.
Amen.
And
praise
so
God.
Let Pastor Donna share some things here she wants to talk about.
Amen.
And then we'll go on with the program, whatever God has us to say. Amen.
We're blessed to be here. And we want to give you a blessing as well on this the Sabbath day. This is the Sabbath. And we were to keep it holy, and we're to honor the Sabbath, you know, as God told Moses to remember the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments, right? And the Sabbath is still here today. And so we do honor the Sabbath here at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And I want to mention, too, that this radio broadcast can also, you can listen to this again on WCNO. It's on the internet. So you can tell your friends or your relatives, wherever they may live in the world, that they can listen to this broadcast or the radio station, WCNO.com, and you can go to the the guide and look for Saturday, Raising the Standard with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. And you can listen to any of our teachings that you may want to listen to that you may have missed, or maybe you caught part of it. Maybe you're traveling down the highway and this is the first time you've heard us. Well, we've been on the radio for over 20 years.
20
years. Mm-hmm. So, and there's still people that are hearing us for the first time.
Right.
And so that's awesome. So it's a great blessing. 89.9 FM WCNO Radio. So we just thank the Lord that we are able to be on this broadcast and to be able to go worldwide with it. Amen.
That's right.
We got a prophetic word that we would, and God fulfills His word. God keeps His promises to His children, whether they were the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ones that are gone on, He kept their promises, or the ones that are living
them,
now,
yeah.
And or also the ones that are to come.
Yes.
God will always keep His. God doesn't break a promise. God is yea and amen. He's forever the same, and He's Olam, which is the Hebrew word for forever. He keeps His promises.
He never changes.
He never changes. God is a God who does not change. He's a God of truth. He's our rock. He's right and He's perfect, and He also judges. He also will judge the nations.
That's right.
And as He judged Israel, and we can read that in our Torah portion for this week. Here at Spirit of Prophecy, we do our Torah portion, and we have Shabbat on Friday night at 7 p.m. So if you'd like to join us here in Stuart, Florida at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, I'm going to give you the phone number in just a few minutes. And then we also have morning services on Sunday morning. We meet with the Lord to worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua, or Jesus, is the Spirit of Prophecy. And that's out of Revelation 19:10, the tail end of that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So we come together on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And we worship the Lord, and we have sound doctrine, sound teaching.
Hallelujah.
And that's what raising the standard. That's what this program is all about, raising the standard of God's word and bringing forth the truth. That's what we want. We want truth.
That's right. And nothing
we
but
want
the
nothing
truth.
But the truth. We don't want to deviate from what God's word says, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
And so that's Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And then we mm-hmm. also have fellowship dinner afterwards. So come and join us. We're here in Stuart, Florida, right on Canner Highway. Amen. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we want to say hello to you out there that are listening, those that may be living in another state. There are some that listen to us from other states. And also to our brother and sister the church on Andros Island, which building the temple of God. Say hello to
Roscoe and Audrey Walks.
Roscoe and Prophetess Audrey Walks on the island of Andros. Amen. Building the temple of God.
Thank
so
you,
you'd
Lord.
Like to be part of that. You'd like to sow a seed into somebody else's ministry. And we send them finances every month for supplies, because the building is going up and it's going to be finished before long, and we just praise God for what He is doing on Andros Island.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
I want to mention one thing is in our reading, you're talking about to hear God's word and to be obedient. And I just want to look at Proverbs chapter 4. It says, "Hear, ye children, and the instructions of the father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine." This is what we're going to give, is good doctrine.
Accurate doctrine.
Forsake not the law.
Mm-hmm.
So we want good doctrine, good sound teaching. So he also says in Isaiah 55, it says over here in Isaiah 55:3, it says, "Incline your ear." What does incline mean? Incline means, it's an action word. It means to have belief, or to have an attitude to accept God's word.
That's right.
Are you willing to bow? Think about the letter, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. To bow as Jesus bowed. He bowed, didn't he?
Sure did.
So it says here, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Well, we're talking about this year. It's about living. It's about living a life for God. It's about being obedient. It says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." So if we incline our ear, if we have an attitude to hear and to accept God's word, we will know that the law is not legalism. The law is the Torah. The law is the Word of God. The law gives us instruction. The law is truth. It's our rock. It's just. It's right. It's perfect.
That's right.
And, you know, the law also brings judgment.
Sure does.
Because he will judge his people. And it says that over there in Deuteronomy chapter 31, that he when Moses sang that song, and it was a song he sang, and it was to the children of Israel, and it was about them hearing all the people would hear. And so God is still wanting us to hear and incline our ear to hear and to be obedient to his word. Amen?
That's right.
So I think that word incline is very important. It's an action. Your belief. What do you believe in? Do you believe that the Sabbath is on the Sunday? It's not on a Sunday. Is that your belief? Where did you get that belief from? Where did you get that doctrine from? That's not sound doctrine.
Nope.
No. So we need to return to the ancient past. We need to go back and we need to read God's word over again. And you know, actually, as we read it again, you know, we read the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible every year. And it will be starting up again. We're just finishing the last book, Deuteronomy. We're just in the last. We have one more chapter to do, or two more chapters to do.
And start over again.
Then we start all over again. And you know, God's word doesn't get old or boring. And
shouldn't
each time anyway. You read it, say, "Well, I read." Open way into getting revelation, to get greater revelation from
like a big wide door we're going
from
through.
The Lord.
Yeah,
amen. So it's actually an opening and a great opening into the heavens, that we need to go into the heavenly place, and we need to get the revelation and the understanding of the hidden things, the treasures.
Mm-hmm.
He's promised us treasures. Amen.
Yep.
The treasures of heaven. So where are we going to get those treasures from? We got to get in heavenly places with him.
Right.
That's where he is seated, in heavenly places.
It says we're seated there with him also.
So we want
a believer
to
in Christ.
Get, amen. We want the reign of heaven. So we got to get to where the reign's at.
That's right.
The reign is coming from above. Amen. Amen.
Way okay. above, yeah.
Way above. Yeah. Okay, Pastor Gene.
Well, I just thinking about today now. Tonight, mm-hmm. I mean last night.
Last night.
At sunset was the beginning of the Day of Atonement, okay? And so, and then today is the actual Day of Atonement. It's interesting how it lines up a little bit this year with the solar calendar, but we know we're on a lunar calendar, and that's based in the Word of God. So it's an interesting thing how it kind of lines up this year. And so it's a warning to everybody as well, because we know it's known as a Day of Judgment. And so we got to keep all that in mind as we read these things. And God had a Day of Judgment for Israel every single year, and it was on the Day of Atonement. We're going to look at this in Leviticus chapter 16 in a moment. But there's so much in this, we can never cover this in 55 minutes or so that we have on the radio program. So I'm going to try to touch on some things that's important for you as a believer in Christ, whether you're Jewish or not, to understand that you can put in your heart and know what it's all about. Now, the first thing that caught my eye, Donna, years ago was on the Day of Atonement, the two animals that were released, they were goats, they weren't lambs. Well, I thought about this one time. You know, if you released a lamb back in that day, what would they do? They'd probably run back to find their shepherd. But the goats, they let them go and they just run wild. But the one goat was taken out by someone that was assigned to take the goat out into the wilderness. And of course, we know what happened with that goat. It was pushed off of a cliff and it died. And when it did, history shows, with the Jewish writings and all, that it had a red ribbon on its horn, one of its horns. And they also put a red ribbon on one of the doors in the temple. The moment that goat died, it turned from crimson red to white. And it never happened again after that one time, after Christ came and all that. And so it was a sign to them what God was going to do. But if we look at this a little bit, we ought to understand what the Day of Atonement is all about. It's also called what in the Hebrew, Donna? It's called what? Yom Kippur. Okay? And it means the Day of Judgment. And it's considered with the Jewish people the holiest day of the year for them. For over all the appointed times, it's the holiest day in the year. In the days of Yeshua and the temple, it was the same way. There was an elaborate ritual that was involved every year, two goats that God told him to do. One was to be slain and one to be led into the wilderness, symbolically bearing away the people's sins for that mm-hmm. particular year and allowing them to have another new year with him. So the blood of the slain goat was carried by the high priest into the Holy of Holies. And when was it done? Only once, one time each year. This blood
with the let me get it straight. This blood from this goat was sprinkled before the mercy seat of God. This was the only day of the year that the inner portion of the temple could be entered, and only by one person. He was the high priest at that time. At this time, he came face to face with God on behalf of Israel. On this day, God would grant them, what, or deny them, atonement for the coming year, which had started on Tishri 10. Mm-hmm. Well, comparison here, Romans 3:25, there's a word in that verse called propitiation. It means a sacrifice of atonement. It's a picture of the mercy seat where the blood was going to be sprinkled. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of sets up what God's wanting to show us with all this. And so we want to look at some things and read this and see what God says. And so for this reason, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, would forever be known as the Day of Redemption. It's the Day of Redemption. And who's that Day of Redemption about? It's about Israel. Their day will come if they don't come to Christ before that. Each year, there was a temple atonement and redemption. Remember, it's a temporary thing. This day then speaks prophetically of a prophetic day that the Messiah will have returned. We call it, it's the second advent, when he's going to come and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives. And the redemption that will have been given to all people that know the Messiah. Even as this yearly ritual, and during this ritual, the high priest would sprinkle the assembled people for their cleansing, so will the Messiah in his second advent do likewise. Isaiah 52:13-15 tells you that. The cleansing, hallelujah. This cleansing will be due to the Messiah and what he did for all of us. That's what it's the key thing. It's about the Messiah. This cleansing, so will be in his second advent, as we just talked about. It's very important to put this in your heart. The appointed or communicated time by this appointed time is literally the physical second advent of Yeshua to the earth. It tells us that in Joel chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, when he will literally come to the earth, not in the sky to catch the ecclesia away and those in but Yeshua. With the Messiah's second advent on Yom Kippur, there will be another day, this is key, another day of judgment of those who have survived the 7 years of Jacob's trouble. For this reason, this day is known as Yom Hadin also. Yom Hadin, even as Rosh Hashanah, has the same thing. And why? Because we have seen in our earlier teachings on this radio program, the judgment books are opened on Rosh Hashanah, on trumpets. On that day, many souls will be moved to the book of the righteous. There's three books that God's going to open. However, there will also be many who will remain in the book of remembrance, in the intermediates. They have never made a decision for Christ. They're not totally bad, they're not totally good, but they have not made a decision for Christ. They're all sinners and they need a Savior. They will have an additional 10 days from the Day of Trumpets until the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, to make their decision about Yeshua. On that day, this will be the final judgment. Those that receive Yeshua, their names will be moved from the book of remembrance and put into their book of the righteous. As we know today is the Lamb's book of the righteous. Huh? Those that do not receive Yeshua will be moved from the book of remembrance and added to the book of the wicked to be damned in Gehenna, better known as hell. On the Day of Atonement, the great shofar is also blown, called the Shofar Hagadol, to gather all the surviving believers in Yeshua from the days of all. This is revealed in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. So that's just a setup of what it's all about. So God gave Israel a year. Every time the high priest went in behind the veil and did everything right, and he didn't die behind the veil. When he came out, the Jewish people knew that God had accepted them, and they had another year to walk with the Lord. And so it's important we understand all this as we look through all this. But one thing I thought about today, Pastor John, there's a lot of themes in the Day of Atonement that a lot of people don't talk about. And there's six of them. I'm going to share these with you. First one is this. We already know that Yom Kippur means the Day of Atonement. That's the first one, the Day of Atonement. Second, it is called face-to-face. We read in 1 Corinthians 13 when Paul talked about standing before the Lord face to face. He was talking about the Day of Atonement. Third thing, it is also called the Day or the Great Day, the Day of Atonement. The fourth thing, it is called the fast. What do they do on that day? They can't drink or eat food for 24 hours. Fifth thing, that was they afflict themselves for 24 hours. The fifth thing, or theme, it is a day of the blowing of the great shofar. We talked about Shofar Hagadol. And the sixth thing, which is man's number, it is called the closing of the gates. And we've talked about this before in Matthew 24, when the gates are closed. And We mention this a lot. On trumpets, the gates are open in Yeshua's day, and they remained open for the entire time of the days of all those 10 days. And at the close of the 10th day, which is the Day of Atonement, the gates are slowly closed. And so what it reveals to all of us, or should, is one day, on that day, the fate of everyone at that particular time, when those gates are closed on the final year of Jacob's trouble, everybody's fate will be sealed for eternity. It's kind of scary. So this is why it's such an important day for the Jewish people, because they know that there's going to be a judgment. It's going to be a final judgment. But we know that, we talked about this last week, the week before, trumpets is also called the Day of Judgment. We just mentioned this. God's going to open up these three books. And he's keeping track of those things. He tells us that over in Daniel chapter 7 about the books being opened. He didn't say book, it says books. There's three books. And so what we want and desire for everybody is to be in the book of the righteous. Hallelujah. That's the one we want to be in. The Lamb's book of life. And in the second one is called the intermediates. They are the ones who have not totally made a decision about coming to Christ. And you can read all about that in Joel chapter 2 also. And so that day is there still. And, but he's given them 10 more days to get right. And then the third book is called what? The book of the wicked. I call them vessels fit for destruction, because they have never come and never will. And God knows all those hearts who are going to come and who are not going to come. But he's wooing now. He's calling people. He's talking to the Jewish people. I want you to come. Come. My son is your Savior. He's your Redeemer. He's the one that you have to come to. Not by rituals and works and all the things that they do at the Western Wall, praying and carrying everything, trying to do everything, I should say, that the Bible tells them to do. Cross all the T's and dot all the I's. That's not going to get them into the kingdom of God. And we've mentioned this many times in this program. The Torah was never put in place to bring redemption. The Torah is put in place to teach us how to walk a holy and righteous life with God after we know Him and walk in and serve Him. That's what it's all about. And so we have to not get it mixed up. But there will be two judgments. So there'll be one on Rosh Hashanah, and then there'll be those, He's going to give the world, and mainly the Jewish people and the entire world, another 10 days to get right with the person that God chose to be the Messiah. And you know, the Jews today think that there's somebody on the earth right now that is the Messiah, and they're looking for someone to take over and be that Messiah and fulfill that prophetic word. Well, there's no other man that's ever lived that qualified, no one, and never will be anyone qualified to be the Messiah of the Father, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach. No other man is qualified. He was the sinless man. He never failed. He did everything that God asked him to do and everything that he said to do. And so he's the one. He's the only one. And we know that a lot of the Jewish people over in Israel, they're looking for a particular man that they think is alive. Some people believe over there that Rabbi Schneerson up in New York was the Messiah. Well, he died. Well, they're waiting for him to be rose from the grave and that he was going to be the Messiah. Well, that's not the Messiah. There's only one. Hallelujah. And he had two aspects of his life. He was called Messiah ben David. He was called Messiah ben Joseph. And so we see all this if we look at it. And we know, leading up to his death and all, he should have been recognized by the word of God that he was Messiah ben Joseph. Did Joseph suffer for us and for his people at that time? Sure he did. And then what happened? Then when the Messiah really came, then we have a Messiah ben David. And the Bible makes it clear in Ezekiel that one day we're going to be in the kingdom of God, and we see that David will be a co-regent with Christ in the kingdom of God. So he fulfills both roles. Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering son, and then also Messiah ben David, which is a picture of Yeshua HaMashiach himself, because he'll be there with us. So we have all these pictures and wonderful things to understand about this day. But the Day of Atonement, the actual day, is the critical day. And if that high priest went in behind that veil and did everything exactly right, he would come out from behind that veil. They knew they had another year that God was going to accept them. So it's key. There's a scripture in the book of Revelation about, let me find this for you. I should have marked this in my Bible or put a piece of paper here. It's in the book of Revelation. This is referring to the Day of Atonement. And I have never heard, I think I heard one man one time talk about this. And it kind of opened my eyes up to understand what God was going to do. It's in chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. It says this, verse 1. This is the verse I'm talking about. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Hear that? Silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. The high priest on this day, in Yeshua's day, he had to set himself aside for 2 or 3 days, honey. For 2 or 3 days. And to obey everything that God had told him to do to fulfill this particular day. And one thing they had to do, they had to lay down prostrate. The high priest laid down prostrate before the veil. And he laid there for about 30 minutes before the holy entrance into the Holy of Holies. He did that to make sure he was right. And this is what this is referring to. There was a hush that came when that high priest lay down in the temple area. And for those 30 minutes to make sure that he'd done everything exactly right. And there were some thoughts of Judaism, some people don't believe that, but some do, that he actually had a cable toe wrapped around one of his legs when he went behind the veil. And if he failed and did the wrong thing, he would drop dead, and they had the cord to drag him out from behind the veil. But if he did everything right, he would walk out. And that's what Israel's desire was to do everything right and to be accepted by God. And so it looked like, we don't read anything in Scripture anywhere where the high priest failed and he dropped dead and they had to drag him out. But that's the thought behind the Day of Atonement. How important and serious this day is with Israel. This is the most significant day on the Jewish calendar because it's a day, it's called the Day of Your Redemption. And so we have to keep that in thought when we look at all this. And so we have so much to thank God for that what was given to the Jewish people, we can honor that. Now we don't just think about the Day of Atonement as a Christian, you know, every year, but we should want to get right with God all the time. So we should be asking God, turn our lives over to Him, seeking if there's anything that needs to be changed and do that. But the Jewish people, well, they sort of do that during the year, but the most important day is the Day of Atonement. And so we don't want to wait till the last day, and they shouldn't. But God's given them the 10 days of grace that they had from the Day of Trumpets. When they say to one another, may you be written in the Book of Life. Well, the thing is, they have to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right, Pastor John?
Amen.
The Lamb's Book of Life, not anybody's. And then for 10 days, they'll look to one another and say, may you be sealed. May you be sealed until the day of what? Of atonement. Until the day of judgment is what it's called. Until the day of, that's the day the books will all be closed and things will go a different way. And so we thank God for that. And so it's a time for us as believers in Christ, whether we're Jewish or not, to take an inspection of ourselves and see where we're at with our Lord. And are we doing the things He's asked us to do? And obey His word. That's what the Torah is all about. And so we're honored to be here with you with this program and to talk a little bit about these things so that you might understand some deeper things that some people know these, but a lot of people don't. And so those two goats that were released was incredible. That ceremony that was done every single year, it's amazing when we think about what God put in place. Hallelujah. Whew. But remember this, as we'll see this in Leviticus chapter 16. Before the goat that was to be released and sent out, the high priest lays his hands upon his head and confesses over that goat the sins. And he tells you in the verses here we're going to read in a moment, the transgressions and the iniquities, all of it in Leviticus chapter 16, 20 through 22. Let's just read that right now. Leviticus 20 through 22. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat that's going to be released. The other one's already sacrificed. By the way, Yeshua fulfills both of those goats. And verse 21, and Aaron shall lay both of his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities. This is the worst kind of sin. So they confess iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions, knowing what's right, to do right, and they don't do it. He confessed all those and in all their sins. So we have iniquity, transgression, and sin. So we hear about it, we talk about it in the Bible. We don't just lump them all together as one. Each one has a specific reason and meaning for what it's all about. And we all miss the mark, that's sin. But transgression is when we know the truth from the Word of God, and we deliberately do things we shouldn't be doing, well, then that's called transgression. And then iniquity is where we twist the Word of God to make our hearts, or our person, our being, feel like we're doing okay because we are using the Word of God for what we're doing, and yet it's contrary to the Word of God. Amen? Like talking about Sunday being what?
The Sabbath.
It's not the Sabbath, okay? That's a lie. Okay?
Sunday's the first day of the week.
That's right.
The day Jesus rose from the
grave. That's it. And so we see what happened.
Would be considered the eighth day.
That's right. If there wasn't
the eighth
day,
this is the year 5778 started at Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
Which means new beginnings.
That's
what
right.
Did Jesus do? He gave a new covenant.
That's right.
He brought a new beginning.
That's right.
And so the people understand that. If we would understand that He brought a new start, a new beginning.
That's right. He started all over.
His covenant is sure.
That's right.
And been proven. And that's it's right. Just, just. And he is the rock.
That's right.
He's the truth.
Sure.
He's perfect. Mm-hmm. And so we got to realize that we have been, we've fallen into so much error, and the church has.
Absolutely.
The Church of Jesus Christ has fallen into so much error. And what do we do? And it talks about over there in Deuteronomy 31, how they fell away and worshiped other gods.
That's right.
See, Jesus, and God said he's the one true God, the only God.
That's right.
And his Son is God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The King James talks about the Godhead, right, Pastor Gene?
Mm-hmm.
So the Godhead. But, you know, people, but it also says in Deuteronomy that they would be punished, and that song that Moses sang would be a test, mm-hmm. a witness against them. That they would learn that song, and it would be a witness against them because they became disobedient and they followed other small G-O-D-S's. And what is the church doing today? And some people may not like what I'm going to say right now. They are following other G-O-D-S's, other gods.
That's right.
We know that Jesus was not born in December. And so what are we worshiping when we celebrate? And we buy presents, and we do all these things that mm-hmm. that are following another God.
That's right.
And people will say, oh, that's not true. Well, you know what? We need to get back to the truth of God's Word. And we talk about, people talk about the resurrection. Well, the church does not celebrate the resurrection at the right time. We're always off. We're off of days. We're off. Sometimes we're off
almost
a month.
A month, yeah.
You know, because it's the Passover. And
right.
So we need to go back to the roots. God talks about the Passover.
Shit.
He doesn't talk about Easter rabbits and bunnies and chocolate candy and all these things that the church, that's another God.
That's
what
right.
does a rabbit represent? Think about it.
Right.
Well, you know what? It takes a
multiplication quickly, yeah.
It takes really a heart change to come back because, you know, we were involved in all these things.
That's right. Before
we were involved in all of these things.
We did it too, but we came out from among them.
We didn't know. We were ignorant, but we're not supposed to be ignorant. We're supposed to, like I said earlier, we're supposed to incline our ears and have sound doctrine. It says that our soul shall live.
That's right.
If we have sound doctrine. Well, when we don't have sound doctrine, the church doesn't have sound doctrine. When we say come and celebrate and have an Easter egg roll, you know, on Easter Sunday, that is
pagan. Abomination, yeah.
And that's an abomination.
To God.
And so, you know, people say, well, I can't change. I can't. You know, well, you know what? It's the heart. God is wanting our hearts to be changed and to be renewed and to come back to the truth.
That's it.
His word is truth.
Absolutely.
You know, his word is like rain from heaven. His doctrine shall drop as rain. It says over in Deuteronomy mm-hmm. 32:2.
Yeah.
And it says that it's going to be, it's distilled. When something is distilled, what does that mean? It's made pure. It says his speech is like distilled water. It's mm-hmm. like distilled rain. So his word is going to, it needs to be purified in our heart. So that means that we need a cutting away of our heart. We need a heart change.
Sure do.
And, you know, it's not easy to make changes. But, you know, this is a year of new beginnings. This is a year we need to make changes. Otherwise, we're going to be hearing, we're not going to be getting the true doctrine of heaven, a true doctrine of God.
That's right.
We got to go back to the ancient path.
That's right.
We got to go back to the true word of God, and we got to get the truth.
Amen.
The truth. The Bible, the King James says, the truth will
make us free.
Us
not
free.
Set us free. Make us free.
But if we don't incline our ear, if we don't bow our ear, if we don't
That's
bow
right.
our heart, then we're not going to receive the truth. We're going to stay in the doctrines of the other gods.
That's right.
And you know what? We won't be blessed like we will. When we honor the Sabbath, there's a commanded blessing.
That's right.
And it's not legalism.
It's
the
not.
Sabbath is not legalism.
Keeping the commandments is not legalism either.
That's right.
Well, we were looking here at verse 21 there. When Donna stepped in and shared some interesting things for us. We see all three sins were confessed over the goat that was going to be released by the high priest. And he confessed them all. And then it says at the end, putting him upon the head of the goat and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man unto the wilderness. We have a sod or a remiz here in the Hebrew in this particular verse. It talks about a fit man. It means a suitable man. It's what it means in the Hebrew. Well, this is a foreshadow of the suitable man who fulfilled this hundreds of years in the future. His name was John the Baptist. When he laid hands on Yeshua, remember when he saw him coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." The sin of the world, not sins. It's singular. And so we have the fulfillment of that as well right here, showing all this. And so the goat that was released is called Azazel. He was a scapegoat, in other words. And he's a picture of Satan, or we like to call him Hasatan. That's what he is. And he was being, as we see in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire one day. And why? To get the proper answer. Hallelujah. To get the proper answer. We need to look at the ceremony of the two goats through the Jewish understanding, not the church's understanding, but the Jewish understanding. First of all, the ceremony of the two goats through the Jewish understanding and all this, we have to keep in mind that they were considered as one offering, okay? Not two, but one. One was, we know, was offered for the sins and all, but they were considered one offering. Next, we have to go to a Jewish writing called the Mishnah. We find further details about these goats. A crimson thread was tied around the horns of the goat marked as Azazel. At the appropriate time, the goat was led to a steep cliff in the wilderness and shoved off the cliff. In connection with this ceremony, an interesting tradition rose that is again mentioned in the Mishnah. A portion of the crimson thread was attached to the door of the temple before the goat was sent into the wilderness. The thread would turn from red to white as the great goat met its end, signaling to the people of Israel that God had accepted their sacrifices and their sins were forgiven for another year. This was based on Isaiah 1:18, about your sins being like crimson red, they'll become like white as snow. The Mishnah also states that 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the thread ceased turning white. Mm-hmm. This, of course, was when Yeshua was crucified on the cross. Yeshua died in 30 AD, and 40 years later, in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. So here we have a typology or a picture concerning the Day of Atonement, which is further explained in Hebrews chapter 9. The two goats used on Yom Kippur present a beautiful picture of Yeshua himself. One goat had to die as Yeshua had to die, while the other goat lived and carried the sins of the people into the wilderness and disappeared. Yeshua is our living Savior. He carries our sins, and God removes them from us. As far as the east is from the west, it says in the Bible. It should grieve the Jewish people that the observance of this appointed time was changed by their own people many years after God had given them the specifics of this day and its importance. Right here in Leviticus 16. It's the only appointed time that we have a whole chapter in the Bible on. By the Second Temple period, the Jewish people were actually pulling hair out of the scapegoat and shouting in anger as the goat was led past them on the way to the desert. How amazing that this anger toward the goat that was bearing their sins so reflects the behavior of many Jews and also Christians today as Yeshua was arrested, tried, and crucified for the sins of the world. He never did one thing wrong, but he was the one that God chose to go through all this. And so we got a lot to think about with the Day of Atonement. So let's read some things out of Scriptures. We haven't read much with this. I'm just going to pick out two or three verses and read them. Verse 7 of Leviticus 16 says, "And he, the high priest, will take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat or Azazel. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering." But that's a picture of Yeshua also. He became our sin offering. "But the goat on which the lot fell to be, the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness." And we see that some more sacrifices. Go down to verse 13. "And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not." This mercy seat, if we look at this is the Hebrew, but if we look at the Greek, and what it said with that, it's called the propitiation. It meant a mercy seat. He became our mercy seat, didn't he? "And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat, shall he sprinkle, and the blood of his finger
seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon, here's the mercy seat again, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself, listen to this, for himself, for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. That was the responsibility of the high priest, once a year. And he shall go out into the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for him, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And I already read verses 20 and 21, where they brought the two goats before the high priest and what was done. Now I want to go down to this in the same chapter. You know, here's another thought earlier this morning when I was thinking about this. You know, everybody thinks that the high priest went in there just one time, once a year. He can only go in on the Day of Atonement. But if you read the scripture, it shows he went in two or three times. He had to change his clothes. There was blood on those clothes. He had to change them and put on new white garments. So he went in there at least three times, maybe four times on that day. But that was the only day that he was allowed to go in there. Now, verse 23 in this chapter, and Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. He shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place. He has to be clean all the time. We should be washing ourselves with the word of God, and put on his garments, and come forth, and after his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall be burnt upon the altar. Wow. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes also, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall carry forth without the camp. Shall one carry forth without the camp? I'll read that again. Whose blood was brought in and to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever. Hear this? A statute forever. That's why it's the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. Be a statute for you forever unto you, that in the seventh month on the tenth day. Well, what's the seventh month? If you don't know the calendar, we talked about it last week. Well, you're missing out. This is the month of Tishri, and the tenth day of Tishri is what? The Day of Atonement. The 19th day of the month. You shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. They all had to honor it. Verse 30, for on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest. See, the Day of Atonement is called a high holy day. It's a Sabbath rest is what it is. It's a high Sabbath. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by statute forever. Not just once in a while, but forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister to the priest in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. This is a picture of Yeshua also. I'm going to read this verse again. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar. He shall make an atonement for the priest, and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. So Yeshua is the one who has to fulfill all this. In verse 33, let's read this. Think about it. This is all about Yeshua. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. He will. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation. And for the altar, He shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you. This is about Yeshua. You know, people don't realize this, but Yeshua made two ascensions into heaven after his death. Remember when one of the women, I think it was Mary, that came and wanted to grab him on that day when he came out? And the Lord said, touch me not, because I have not ascended to my Father. So he ascended to his Father. What did he ascend to heaven for? He took his own blood that he'd shed, took it to heaven, and he did exactly this. He sprinkled that blood on all the things in the tabernacle in heaven, because see, sin originated in heaven with the rebellion with Hasatan. So he had to cleanse the temple in heaven first to purify that. Then he came back to earth, spent those 40 days with his disciples, and then we know what happens. What happened? On the 40th day, he was on the Mount of Olives with all of them, and what happened? God took him off the earth. He was just lifted him off the earth, and they all saw him go. So he had two ascensions. And then one day at the end, and we've talked about this before in Acts chapter 1, he was taken up the last time. So we have all this in Leviticus chapter 16, the only one that we have all these things revealed in a great way. Now I'm going to go over to Leviticus chapter 23 with you, and let's look at some things here as well. Now the King James talks about holy convocations. Those holy convocations were all high Sabbaths. And so we have seven appointed times in Leviticus 23, but we really have eight, because the very first thing is what? The Sabbath. Let's read this. Leviticus 23, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the day, the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be proclaim to be the holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. It's a high Sabbath. We're not to do any work or anything on that day. But the world don't even consider that, neither does the church today. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So that's number one. Then he goes through all the appointed time, the time of the year that they come, and everything. So we're talking about the Day of Atonement. So we're going to go down here to verse 26 in Leviticus 23, and now he's going to talk about the Day of Atonement, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. This is the day that they really afflict their souls. They don't eat or drink. They don't do anything for 24 hours. And verse 26 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, here we are, if we don't know what the 7th month is, we're lost. The 10th day of the 7th month is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it is that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among the people. Means they were going to be killed. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever, forever, throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at eve, from even unto even, from one evening to the next, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Pretty powerful, isn't it?
Amen.
The Day of Atonement.
Very powerful.
So I'm going to mention something in the New Testament. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians 13 with you.
I'm going to go over here to Isaiah.
Okay.
Chapter 57.
Let me read this first while I got this thought in my mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we all read this before, we all call it the love chapter. Well, it is the love chapter. We have to love one another. But I just want to show you what Jesus
If we don't love God, we can't love. And if we don't love his word, love people.
So this Yeshua spoke this by the Spirit of him into the Apostle Paul to write this down for you. Now, if we look at this real close, I'm going to look at verse 12 in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then, he says, face to face. This is a term for the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went in behind the veil and represented Israel to the Father. Now I know in part, and he only knew in part also at that time, but then shall I know even as I also am known. When he st-
when that day comes face to face, and we know the when the Lord comes back on the Day of Atonement, okay, then we will not know just in part. We will. It says, but then shall I know what the things of God, even also as I am known by who? By God. And then he says, and now abide of faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is what? Charity. That kind of love that God wants us to have, especially for between believers. So Paul alluded to that, being, you know, the Day of Atonement. We have one other one we mentioned before over in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to turn over there. Paul knew what he was talking about when he said things. When he talked about you won't know the danger they are, like Yeshua did, he repeated that. But he also told us all these things that we need to know. So I'm going to go over here to the book of Ephesians with you for a moment. And I want to show you another word that Paul spoke, and the people around him understood what he was referring to. I'm in Ephesians right now. I should have turned there too. Amen. It is in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. Now look what this. Look what Paul had to say here. Where do I want to start here? Verse 11 in Ephesians 5. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. It means to expose them. But it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now here's the key verse. Wherefore, Paul says, wherefore, he says, he's talking about the Lord. Awake thou that sleepest. This is referring, I think, about resurrection. It's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah, trumpets one year. And arise from the dead, and Christ, what, shall give ye give thee light. See them that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, remembering the time, because the days are evil. So we have these wonderful, Paul said a lot of things at different times, and the Jewish people knew what he was talking about, but now the heathens that he went to Ephesus and those places, they didn't know, so he had to explain a lot of these things, which he has in the Word of God that we have. So it's amazing when I think about all the things that God has given us. Hallelujah. And so I thought about this. I shared this with somebody having dinner the other day, and I thought it was very important to mention this. And I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Don. She's got something she wants to share here. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Thank you, Lord.
If I can find this real quick here for you. Yeah. Yes. And Paul quoted this from the First Covenant. And so he's talking about when this corruptible, that's us, shall have put on incorruption, when we're transformed or resurrected, huh? Or caught off the earth, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And look what he says. O death, this is quoted out of Isaiah. O death, where is thy sting? There's no death when you're in Messiah. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is what? Is sin. Sin is caught, brings the sting of death when you're living in sin. And the strength of sin, what? Is the law or the Torah. The sin is revealed in the Torah. So we want to walk with God, obey Him, and we will have the victory. So there will be no sting in death. I have no fear about dying. I don't want to die, but I have no fear. I know where I'm going to go. I hope you were listening to it too. All right, Pastor Donna.
Well, I want to talk about, God talks about the fast. Of course, we know that's a 24-hour fast without food or water. Mm-hmm. And we just have a few minutes.
Well, you got five minutes.
Okay, I'm just going to read part of chapter 58 in Isaiah. And I'll start in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the hands of the wicked? God wants to loose the hands of the wicked.
Amen.
To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. See, Christians have yokes of bondage upon them.
That's
we
right.
talked about that. And some of these yokes are our mindsets, because we're not really seeking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
7 says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house?
That's right.
Amen. When thou seest the naked, that thou covereth him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy
reward.
Reward. He's going to reward us.
Way in the back.
He's going to reward us from afar off, from the back.
That's right.
Then shall thou call,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to call, and you're going to pray.
That's right.
And the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. See, that's having the wrong heart. Verse 10. Right. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought. We're going to have that rain of heaven I talked about, and make fat thy bones. You'll be healthy. And thou shalt be like a watered garden. We're talking about the rain of heaven.
That's right.
The rain of heaven. You know, there's the ground gets wet every day from the dew. And it says it says over there in Deuteronomy, it talks about the dew, how it's going to be like the dew of it's a doctrine that shall drop as rain. And the dew is distilled by God's speech. We want that. We need that. And like a spring of water whose waters fail not. See, we have the Holy Ghost in us, don't we?
Sure
we
do.
Need to be a bubbling spring.
Hallelujah.
Forth. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths
Hallelujah.
To dwell in.
Mm-hmm.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, listen to this,
That's right.
from doing thy pleasure, on my holy day, see it, the Sabbath is God's day,
mm-hmm.
and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, it's holy, the Sabbath is holy, honorable, and shall honor him,
Hallelujah.
Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, Jodhe Vavhe, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Praise God. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Thank you for your holy word, Father God.
Yes.
Thank you for this Sabbath day that we honor, Lord.
Glory be.
We thank you for the people listening, Father. And I just want to say that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night at 7 p.m. And also Sunday morning, this Sunday at 11 a.m. Come join us. Come worship God with us for the testimony of Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10. Phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Honored to be here with you again on another Saturday. And we hope, and I believe we have presented some things to you to think about.
Truth.
And to know how privileged we are to be in the body of Christ and have Yeshua HaMashiach
Amen.
As our Savior and our Messiah. So as we close this program every week, we tell you to
look
up because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say?
Shabbat Pastor? Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy. Thank you.